Hi there, and welcome to Make Him Wonder. I'm your host, Coach Paula, a dating and relationship coach, licensed social worker, and author of the book, Why Won't He Commit? How a Man Decides to Make You the One. My guest today is 44-year-old Emily, who has been online dating seeking a hypergamous relationship. What she wrote to us was so interesting to me that I thought I would share much of it here by way of introducing Emily and bringing her on today. Emily wrote, I met a man on Bumble who asked me to dinner. I changed the dinner locale to a 5-star restaurant when he said, quote, wherever you want. He was happy with the place and was, as I suspected, very wealthy and successful. He had several businesses across the nation. He's been divorced 3 years and said he had a 1-year intense relationship where he moved to another state. He mentioned on the date that he was going to that state the next morning. He then asked for a second date a quarter of the way in. I noticed he barely touched his one cocktail and I had 3 drinks. I usually stop at 2, but because of the 3, I feel I was a Labrador retriever with him. He showed me a photo of the 5-carat ring he had ready for the next one and kept asking if I wanted to get married. He asked if I wanted kids. I said yes. He said he'd have one more. I gave him a peck and he said to text when I got home. I remembered the rules and didn't. He texted. I said thank you and he followed up with the day and place of the next date. Then he said, quote, send me some pics. I was so turned off, I dead-zoned him for the whole weekend, replying on Monday, hey, busy weekend. I hope yours was good as well. What time did you have in mind this Wednesday? He replied, 7:30. I said, okay, see you then. He replied, okay. The day of the date, he texted, quote, gonna have to cancel. We don't even talk during the week. I decided to break the rules and basically text my thoughts on the matter, to which he said, let's talk tomorrow. And of course, he never called. I used logic and wrote, quote, I am flattered you missed me this week. But then I added, also, quote, I am the prize. I also told him I don't want to work. I met another man after the first date. I asked him for cash for my next day of shopping since he was a multimillionaire. We met in an uber luxe hotel destination. He wanted to sleep with me and I told him I needed gifts. I was not planning on sleeping with him. I was saying that was how to court me, as gifts truly are my love language. I was basically mixing hypergamy with the rules. I wonder if you, Coach Paula, have thoughts and opinions on hypergamy and your 80-20 approach. Hypergamy to me is simply a man pampering you even if he makes just slightly more than you. I dated 2 multimillionaires in the past and love how they treated me. They have the means, it is nothing to them, and if they can help me with my business or allow me to not work. I would actually choose to work and the man I'm with to put his money into launching my business so I can always have my own income and his money is my money. I want expensive gifts by the 3rd to 5th date. What I noticed is that sex is to men what money is to women. They want sex by the 3rd or 5th date. 2 questions I have for you, Coach Paula. 1, I believe my multimillionaire ex and I broke up when I tried the single until married approach and saw he was still texting other women. He still avoided reconciling with me, even though I realized it was okay to have sex, but after that, I freaked out. How do you rotationally date and not give the men a pass to cheat? Question 2. I hate texting passionately. I have had more than one man dump me because I won't text, preferring to meet in person on dates and talk. How do I address this with men? They love texting. I hate it. Thank you, Coach Paula. My goodness, so much to talk about, and I'm happy to have you on today. Welcome, Emily.
Thank you.
I'm a bit stumped as to where to begin. I will do so by asking you, what do you want to get out of today's call with me? What do you most want to know? And what would be a real win for you to walk away from today and say, I got a lot out of that?
I am curious your views on hypergamy, but I think a universal question that me and my girlfriends have is the one incident of him saying, we don't even talk during the week, which has come up often where I, quote, disappear between dates, as the rule says, and as I like to do. I don't like to text or even talk on the phone much in the beginning. I feel like it's premature intimacy, especially the texting. And that seems to turn men off. And so him saying, we don't even talk, was interesting because that seems to be a theme in my dating, that I don't like to text. And some of them say, I think one said on an app, like, I can't date a woman that doesn't know how to conversate or be a good conversationalist, whereas I am an excellent conversationalist and I'm a very curious person. But I repress that because of the rules, and I like to do that. And I just reread the latest rules book, and they reinforce that we should not ask questions back, and I like doing that. And our goal, of course, is to get them to ask us out, even if we've already been out in between dates. But my sister and others have given the feedback that, you know, it makes me sound narcissistic, like I'm not at all interested in them, you know, by not saying, and you. So I guess the question is the communication between dates, whereas the rules tells us to not ask any questions in between, certainly not call them, certainly not reach out, sometimes ignore their text. I love that approach. It really works for me. But I've had feedback from men and girlfriends that it comes off as very self-centered and turns men off.
There's a lot here that I think I need some backstory on, because I will say that from your letter, I think the small issue is the not texting between dates. In other words, that's the least of the problem. It's manifested into a problem that you're perceiving it to be, because it's something they are telling you they don't like. But there's an essence that I get from your letter, and certainly I have found with women who are striving for hypergamous relationships that if a man absolutely doesn't turn himself inside out in every way, then he will be ignored. And what can happen with doing the rules 100%, and why I am not a 100% rules coach by any means, it's why I say I'm an 80-20 rules coach, because it is the feeling a man gets from them. If we are not intrinsically a super warm individual. So the rules can work in certain situations whereby a woman is extremely sweet, maybe more on the side of innocent, and her energy is very on the surface, giving, warm, motherly, very feminine. But the rules can be a big hindrance to women who are not that.
I think you nailed it.
Tell me what you mean by that. What part kind of rang true to you?
I'm kind of no-nonsense. I am not a very giving person. I think I was before the rules. Maybe. Yes, I think I was overly giving. I'm not very sweet or innocent. I mean, inside I am, but I'm more soft inside, hard on the outside, and I'm very cautious to not be naive or overly giving. I saw my mother do that, and I saw her be exploited for it. But yes, I'm pretty, like, no-nonsense, but I can be charming in being witty, flirting, maybe, kind of setting up a challenge. But I'm definitely no-nonsense.
Got it. And when we are that, the man from the rules will then feel that you are all manner of things that you don't want to appear. Withholding, reserved, in terms of confusing him. Rather than making him wonder, you just confuse him. And we're going to go back to the first part of your letter, which is the man you met on Bumble, which right there, there's an issue. Bumble. If you know my work, you know I say, let's stay away from that because they are men, or men on Bumble, are mostly consumers, not looking to buy. There's something quite amiss here with how he was with you on the first date. And you set yourself up in a way that didn't help you at all. He picked a place for dinner, I'm gathering, or no, he just said, pick a place for dinner wherever you want. Is that the issue, or you actually changed where he chose?
He said wherever you want. I chose a place, and then because he sounded like, sure, I said, actually, let's go here, and chose a fancier place.
Okay, so if any of you know my One Love course, you know that there is only one place, one type of locale that you meet the first time. And we do ourselves a big disservice by not meeting in that one type of locale. You hear me talk all the time about no coffee dates and no dinner dates on the first meeting. Here's why. Dinner shows the man a number of things that are not helpful to set you up to be truly valued, respected, and honored on a very deep level. We must show a man that we do not give our time to him until he has earned it. We will meet him for a short amount of time at a place that the ambiance sets us up, the time of day sets us up. The where, the when is very important, and that is all in the course. And it's formulaic, and you do it with every man you're going to meet for the first time. Because make no mistake, from time immemorial, we have met in one way, and that is by being in proximity with someone. And through that proximity, that man is interested in us, and he asks us out. And that's what we want after a first meeting. So we meet, if he is interested, and he asks us out, and we agree, that is going to be a first date. And that, of course, can be dinner. But you did something to show him that what you value. And while, yes, men who are wealthy do love to give through their money, when you show him from the get-go that that's what you are about, that hurts you. With any man who's got anything deeper than the value he gives himself because of what he has earned and his money. So if he is a good guy, a sensitive man, he wants a trusting, loving, supportive, secure relationship, to show that you are about the money from the get-go will hurt you. So when you changed the dinner locale to a 5-star restaurant, you immediately showed him something. Now you're going to say, well, he was happy with it, he likes those kinds of places, whatever it is. Well, sure, you're a pretty puppy. It's nothing to him, and that's why I said, wherever you want. It doesn't matter, and he might get sex from you shortly, so he's going to do it. But that's not why you are dating. You are dating to have a meaningful, forever relationship with the one, and you didn't set yourself up, in this case, for the best chance at that. And I'll go further. And you've said it in your letter, because you know it. There's nothing I'm telling you here that you don't know inside. Because if I was, you wouldn't be here. You wouldn't have listened to this podcast. You wouldn't know who I am. None of my stuff would ring true to you at all, and you would just toss me out of hand as just being crazy. But you know it. You said, he barely touched his one cocktail. I had three. We can't do that either. Because what did that show him? Probably something that you were not. But there was anxiety in you, and it made you do something that you don't normally do. Maybe you were attracted to him, and that was what you call being a Labrador retriever with him. Tell me what you mean by that. What actually happened?
Well, that was what was interesting to me, was that I am so extremely reserved, extremely composed, maybe appearing withholding on dates. And I just was, in a way, I thought it was good. It reminded me that my old personality, maybe pre the rules, where I was sort of bubbly and very interested in him. Just that's what I jokingly mean by Labrador Retriever, like someone who is without any awareness or guile, unashamedly like a puppy. Does that make sense?
It does, and I appreciate that. When did you find the rules?
I think I was 38 when I got serious about it. It could have been a little earlier, but...
And what brought you to them?
I was unsuccessful, of course, but I wasn't withholding or reserved. I was more wore my heart on my sleeve. I think I led with sex, which I don't do at all anymore, and couldn't understand what I was doing wrong, would just break all the rules, do anything, like travel to the guy. But I remember when I was 23, I read the book, and I had a fiancé then, and I said, oh, there are no rules, because I guess it worked then, but that was probably my last successful committed relationship with my college boyfriend. So just very typical living in New York, just those kind of unsuccessful serial dating. No man would commit to me. I didn't know why or what I was doing wrong.
Thank you for that. I think that sums up so many women's histories of coming to the rules. And it can be very helpful when you first find it, because it gives you some kind of guideline. However, the devil is in the details, and doing something 100% on one end can be just as bad almost as 100% on the other end. The sweet spot is in the middle, and I think it's more towards the 80-20 that we're talking about. As I always say, when we do 80% of the rules by striving for 100%, the 20% we don't won't much matter. However, if you can understand what you were showing this particular man and the other man when you say, I told him I needed gifts because my love language is gifts, that's not at all what he interprets. Do you understand what I'm getting at here?
He interprets that I'm saying, give me money for sex.
Absolutely. There's no question. And then you don't come through, and then you have a angry man on your hands. And then he just drops you. He may keep trying for a while. Did he try?
Yes. He kept trying.
Mm-hmm. So you say you dated two multimillionaires and loved how they treated you. They have the means and it's nothing to them. I actually would take a step back from that, because that's going to hurt you. You were showing the man why you're interested in them, or why you're interested in him. He knows it, and it's an unspoken kind of pact, for lack of a better word, and it keeps you from being truly intimate and creating real connection and a real bond aside from the money. And that could be why you are doing it, because it's not the absolute desire for the money, it's the fear of the intimacy and connection and the pain of continuing to strive for the intimacy and connection and getting hurt each time when it doesn't work out.
I think that's correct. But can I speak to that?
Absolutely.
I, just like with the, after the rules, I think a few years later, I discovered hypergamy. And if you go deep into hypergamy, very smart women really recommend to not marry for love, to marry for practicality, for safety and security. And they advocate, you know, just, yeah, that there's not love even in the equation. So I feel like I try to mix it. I did love my one ex. The other one, we didn't date long enough for it to be love, but I did love them. And but I do have a fear of intimacy. So either way, whether there was money or not, there would be a fear of intimacy.
Yes, you're absolutely right. And I'm not saying you can't have both. You can. But the mixing is where I think the problem lies. The women you just talked about, it is an all or nothing kind of thing. And it's a quid pro quo. And the men know it. And I believe it's quite a dangerous thing to be doing, because the man holds most all the power, and life throws curveballs, and people age, and it can be a losing proposition in many ways, except for the potential money that comes out of it. That being said, there is no reason that you cannot be dating and looking to date a man of means at whatever level that is for you. But when you show him off the bat, in the way that you didn't, the timing on it didn't help you. Here's what I mean by that. So I want you to think about this man that you met on Bumble. And I'm going to take you through the scenario that I believe would have made it a bit different. First of all, did he call you to introduce himself, and did you have a small talk on the phone prior to agreeing to meet him?
I am familiar with your rules on that, and I find it kind of awkward. I actually have my own rule from being in the these groups with women. If I could just say one word about Bumble, a rules girl taught me a trick where you can swipe right, but the men have the ability to show interest by, I don't know if they pay for it or not, but they extend the match, and then it turns green. Shows them taking initiative to say, oh, I'm interested in this woman. You're familiar with that?
Yes, I am familiar with that. That's right. And it's the least of the issues here, right? There are people that meet on Bumble and do very well. It's what you do after. I'm just saying, all things being equal, most men expect on Bumble that it's going to work, that the women go towards them. They do have this new feature that the man pays. He can do what you're saying, or even, I believe, there's an upsell whereby they can actually reach out to women as well. But it's neither here nor there in terms of what we are talking about. I asked if you do the phone call.
Okay, no. And okay. I just always write, hi, yeah.
Okay. So that's a rules thing that when it's first starting out, it's okay to say just the hi. But if you are generally more towards what we're talking about, the reserved kind of person, just put his name if it's there, or his username. Hi Mustang76, whatever it is. You see, just something just a little warmer than the hi. We don't like it when men just say hi to us, right?
Right. I thought that was how I was being rulesy. I also tell them when they ask for my number or give theirs, I say, I don't give out my number until we've met, because I've had the experience where I give my number and I am still thankfully attractive. So I would probably get, 10 or 20 requests a day. And I say, I give my number and I get, hey, what's up? Good, the chit chat text.
Of course.
And from there, I do the same rule of no questions back, great, waiting for them to ask me out. And sometimes more often than not, I've been doing this so long, it fizzles to there's no date made. Whereas when I say I don't give my number out, they say, fine, 7 o'clock, we set the place.
So I'm just going to give you a thumbnail on why it's an issue. Here's what I'm hearing. You are not only sick and tired of online dating. It's frustrating. It's not working. You're disappointed, but you keep doing it because there's really not a lot of other options. Is that fair?
Fair. I recently met someone in real life. I gave my number and the chit-chat text started. It may go back to the texting issue. I'm not, but yes, that is also accurate.
Okay. So the frustration is something like this. I just want to cut to the chase. I don't want to be texting these stupid things back and forth that are meaningless. I want to get to a date. I want to see if he's right. I want to know if he's right, and I want to move on. This is a time waster. It's annoying. Now, that might not even be conscious, but it's what's happening.
Oh, correct. 100%. Conscious as well.
So this is a problem because you're giving that off. And men, when they wonder, the wonder has to be a positive type of wondering. I liken it to going out in nature or looking into your puppy's or kitten's eyes. There's a sense of awe and a teeny bit of unknowing excitement. You look into your doggy's eyes and he or she looks back. It's, what is this precious thing thinking? What is he or she feeling? It's a lovely sense of wonder, if only he or she could talk. When you step out into nature and there's something about, you know, a tree, or you're in a really special place of nature and the quiet or the birds, and it's just this wonderful sense of awe. That's wondering. But what's happening for you, Emily, is that they're confused, confounded. It feels like a game. It feels like manipulation to them. It's not going to help you. What is also happening for you is you don't want texts, so you don't want to give your number out. No one should give their real number out. It's why I have in my program, you get an app on your phone that comes up like you are texting from that number. So it's not your real number. And you don't have to get notifications from that app. It doesn't have to be mixed up with your friends or your contacts or anything at all. But the man feels he has your phone number. You can even get it, I think. You can pick a number that has like an area code that's where you live.
I have a Google Voice.
Okay. I don't like Google because there's a particular way in terms of the texting. From what I understand, I could be wrong, but get something that is a free app like a Text Now or something like that. It's only used for your online dating. Here's how it goes. You say, "Hi, Mustang76," when he contacts you. And he says, "Hi, you're so pretty, you blah, 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 blah." It doesn't really matter. You say, "Thank you so much. That's very nice of you." Now, here's the difference. Before you meet, you cannot do the kind of rules that you are talking about. They will hurt you. And I understand you get a lot of hits. You choose. You get 20 hits a day. Maybe none out of those 20 you're going to even want to bother with. Maybe the next day there'll be one out of the 20. It's not a numbers game. It's choosing wisely and showing a man, "I value my time." What a woman has that she gives to every man is her time and attention. And we must show him right off the bat, "I only give that to a man who respects it and shows a modicum of being a gentleman and how he respects it." So, for example, you're going back and forth 4 to 5 things online, and this is where you can ask, and really, you must. So, Mustang76 says, "Hi," you know, you say hi back. You say, "Hi, Mustang76, he says, "You're so pretty, you seem to like this, that, and the other thing, so do I." And you say, "Great, it's wonderful to have things in common." Right there, I didn't ask a question, but I was forthcoming, inviting, nice, great. Then he says, "Yes, would you like to meet?" And this is, in my course, it is formulaic. You say, "That might be nice. I like to get on a quick call to introduce ourselves to see if that's something we want to do. Here's my number. I'm free now for a few moments to chat or tonight after 7. You've given him the 2 times. You've given him the number. Now he should call you, or he should say, "Okay, I'll give you a call." 9 times out of 10, he's going to text. He's going to say, "Hi, this is, you know, Mike, Mustang76. And you say, "Hi, Mike, it's me. I'm free to chat now." Again, showing him, "I expect you to call to introduce yourself before I continue chatting with you online and going back and forth. I'm not going to do that." You give it 2 times, that's it. And then done. Because if he cannot make that leap and call you and introduce himself properly, you never deign to meet him. You are setting yourself up, showing, "I am of value. I don't just meet men." And this psychologically sets a man up to want you on a scintilla of a deeper level because of my saying. What you do with him, he thinks you do with all men. And if you're getting a lot of hits online, a man knows by seeing you how valuable you are. And if you just go to meet him without him properly introducing himself and asking, you are showing, I don't value myself or my time. I just go and meet you. During that phone call, which I have in the program, how you maneuver that call, you scale him right then and there, whether you will meet him or not, because you don't want to waste your time. What do you think about that, Emily?
Yeah, I could see it that way, and I'm familiar with that. It's always like what's in between the lines that makes communication so difficult, because in between the lines in my head is, and I'm not sure if I've read this somewhere, but that he should see you, think, that's my dream girl, I want to meet her. So that's why I would do that. I have a question about that phone call. I hope that, because I read so much about dating, and I believe you say that it's a 10-minute cutoff, I hope. And do we behave the same way there, where it's not so much, how about you? I hope that the call is similar to the text we're describing, where we just set the date up. Is that right?
You see, Emily, the problem is that you don't want to be doing this at all. And everything you talk about is to avoid any kind of interaction with this man until you get what it is that you want and need. And without this changing a bit for yourself, you're going to continue getting the same results.
I'm open to doing that. I just have so many questions about when I read an excellent book on when men ask dumb dating questions. Because when they ask intrusive, you know, how many times have you been married? Why did you break up? What do you do for a living? Where you're trying to determine your class and your income. And that's all on that pre-phone call. I guess it just makes me feel so judged, and, you know, I'm determining whether you're worth my time. But do you have any rules, so to speak, or guidelines on what you'll allow them to ask, or the amount of time on the phone, or just...
Okay. Yes, you see, everything for you is you don't want to be dealing with it. You want to avoid, because your belief system is that you are being judged. Where does that come from?
I feel, like I said, that they should see you, think, that's my dream girl. I want to take her out. I want to treat her. I don't want to get coffee with this woman. I want to take her somewhere nice. I'm curious, by the way, I've had men ask me for hikes.
There's no hikes, there's no coffee. I have exactly where you are to meet in a nice restaurant for a drink, even if you don't drink.
A drink, right.
Because you sit next to him. But you see, this idea that he's going to see you out of all the pretty puppies online and from a picture, that's my dream girl, in your age bracket, not want to know more about you, you're kidding yourself.
Right.
Because, again, I go back to, it's a one-note thing. You do not want to be dealing with this. The intimacy issue here for you is huge. And until you deal with that, you are going to feel judged. You are not going to want to answer any questions. I will ask you now, have you been married?
No. And I just had a date Saturday at dinner date. And he says, have you been married? I said, no, engaged. And I felt like the date was over from then. He had been married 4 times. So that, I think, never married, no kids, and I still want that, I think is a red flag to men.
At your age, it is. I'm not going to kid you. But you see, if you don't deal with what is and the reality of what is and try to avoid it, you will continue it rather than correct it. This is just the interesting, ironic thing in life. Because I could sit here as an outsider and I'll picture the two of you sitting there at dinner, and you'd never met before, you had?
We had never met before. That was our date zero.
Okay. And this is just the worst setup. It's a terrible setup. You're setting yourself up for failure. No Saturday nights for first meetings. You are showing him all he needs to know. You do not go on a first meeting on a Saturday night for dinner. You never do a first meeting for dinner, because you are showing him everything on a scale from she's got nothing to do, to she's desperate, and all manner of in between, and you're letting a man decide that doesn't work in your favor. So when I'm sitting here looking at it, and he asks you, have you ever been married? And you say, no, you were engaged. Okay, what's wrong with that? And yet he's been married 4 times. And you're allowing his judgment of you to impact you at all? Something's wrong with this picture. You see what I mean?
Yes. Just that I noticed his face. He also mentioned that 2 of his exes came from very wealthy families. And he made that a point of that. So just those little interactions, I guess, are unpleasant. And maybe that's why I felt judged.
I understand. But you see, our feeling judged never comes from another person. And when you correct this, your world will open up. It's not just how you are doing dating. It's your self-concept, your belief system, your subconscious experience of what love is, and the bit of PTSD from your past relationships. It's all together. And it's why I work in the fashion that I do under the 2 umbrellas. Because you can be in all the rules groups you want and do all that as much as you want, and it's not going to change anything. Because it's coming from both what you do, but mostly what you believe and what has been your experience. And a lot of that is subconscious that you have to get to. Because on the outside, yes, the reason you want the man to see you as a dream girl and just do the right things and you don't have to deal with all the nonsense in between is because you feel that your looks are the asset that is going to get you what you want. And it does at the start and to an initial degree, but it doesn't go the distance, and it will not go the distance because looks fade. Looks change. Anything can happen. We are not our looks. And that can be scary, especially if we put stock in that and only that. And you then, on the flip side, are not doing what sets the man up for him to see you as so much more than that. Because a dream girl to a man who is self-possessed, has a good character, has a good soul, she is the same. She has good character. She has a good soul. She's more than her looks. She is giving, caring, loving, supportive, there for him, and he will be with her. That's that man's dream girl. Because I have no doubt that if you just want the relationship you talked about earlier, where hypergamy is it and only it, you can go get that. And in my estimation, be careful what you wish for, because you sound sweet. There's a goodness in you. You're smart. You have a sophistication. You likely have a lot to give, but have been so hurt by your subconscious programming of what love is. We haven't even touched on that. But if you listen to me at all, you do know that what you experienced from birth to age 7 is your subconscious programming of a love relationship. And while I don't know what that is, it has something to do with you are not enough. You will be left, perhaps. You cannot trust that a love interest will be there. And now it's morphed into, because of all the stuff that you have endured in your adult romantic life, whereby it's something you're craving and you want, and that's normal and natural. Life is best lived in partnership, but you have been so tumbled around that you do not want to have to deal with the normative, natural, step-by-step way a relationship and trust is built. And you're not setting yourself up in your dating in a way that can get you both love and a loving relationship and someone who is self-sufficient and might help you in whatever your career endeavor is as well. You absolutely can. If you do what needs to be done with the man to set him up, and slowly but surely you have to interact and not just expect the man to be coming after you like a puppy dog needing food. The issue of texting is simply because you are tired of it. You just want it to work. You've been told that this will work from the rules, and I hope you're seeing that that's betraying you.
So what part of is not working? Is it not having that little call or not asking them anything in return? Or I guess it's a different question, but if they say coffee, what would you say to that? If I just said to someone, I don't do coffee dates.
And what does that tell him?
Maybe he thinks I'm, you know, looking for someone successful.
There's so much here, and I'm going to get into a little bit more of the nitty-gritty just for a few moments. And I will definitely answer what you say to a coffee date. But while we're on a break, I want you to think about what I just said about the much deeper issues here that are at play that you believe you can put aside. And if you just do what's right, quote unquote, right, in dating, you will land that someone successful and be happy. But I'm going to answer that question about the date and what you say while you think about that. And we'll come back in a moment. I trust you're enjoying Make Him Wonder and that you're getting a lot of helpful information for the life of love you desire and deserve. So if you're not part of the 80-20 Wonder Club yet, you need to be, because now Make Him Wonder is exclusive, a members-only club to listen to every episode, past, present, and future, in full, all ad-free. The 80-20 Wonder Club is a Make Him Wonder membership that gives you all of seasons 1, 2, and 3 in a categorized list by age and relationship status, and a multimedia library of my content, including my book, Relationship Evals, and my Mechanics of Men Mindset Manual, a weekly action step you can focus on to attract and keep the man of your dreams and have him committing to you completely in the coming months. Make this the moment you start living as an 80-20 Wonder Woman, because love, like life, is best lived in 80-20. When you do 80% of what works with men, the 20% you don't won't much matter. Join the 80-20 Wonder Club by going to the 8020wonder.club. Don't miss out. Go now to the 8020wonder.club. You and your man will be glad you did. So I'm going to start, Emily, answering that question you had about the coffee date. It's an interesting thing to understand. It's not what you say, it's how you say it, and even in text. We have to be very aware and mindful of how someone else might perceive what we are saying. So when you just tell a man, I don't do coffee dates, you're giving him quite a bit of information. And again, it's all on a scale, but it can be all the way on the left side of like, oh, she doesn't do coffee dates. Okay, what else will she do? All the way to, oh, she's entitled. That's not good enough for her. I made a mistake. Things like, it's a direction rather than a collaboration. Not the best. So it's, thanks, Mike. I'm not going to be able to do any time that would be appropriate for coffee, but I'm free on Monday or Wednesday next week for happy hour after work. I just, because you've not met the man, you direct it. No question. I directed it with a statement. Now, collaboration. You didn't impugn him for like, you idiot, I don't do coffee dates. It's just, oh, I'm not going to be able to do anything during the day, because coffee's during the day. You don't meet for coffee at 7 at night. So I'm not going to be able to do anything during the day when coffee would be okay. But I could do happy hour next week, Monday or Wednesday, if you happen to be free. He's going to jump on it, most typically. Or he's going to tell you, I'm not free Monday or Wednesday, but I could do Thursday. Again, you never meet Saturdays or Sundays. Saturday nights, you don't meet for a first meeting ever. That is for someone after you've met and you want to give him a Saturday night date for dinner or whatever it is. Sunday, energetically, is completely off. Just the energy on a Sunday night, it just never works in your favor. So you don't do that. Happy hour, even if you don't drink. The atmosphere is right. It's light. It's a specific time of day. Gives the right feeling. hour and a half tops. That's it. If you want to go on a next date with him, you decide. And I also have ways to not show your hand then, so you make him wonder when he asks, would you like to have dinner on Saturday? So, Emily, do you understand why it hurts you when you say, I don't do coffee dates?
Yeah, it comes off as pretty commanding.
And it's really not true, because when you're in a romantic relationship, a total relationship, and he lives downtown, you live uptown, and he wants to grab a coffee with you, yeah, you'll see him, correct?
Right. A lot of these issues to me is men propose to do things like a hike that you would do once you're committed, once you're established.
Yes, they do.
And some of them misinterpret me saying no, that I want fancy dinners up front, that's for life. Whereas I try to explain to them, no, I'll start to wear jeans once we're established.
Okay, but you're saying things that don't need to be said. All it is, here's an issue. It's the step-by-step, and all they're getting from you is that whatever they are saying isn't quite right. Rather than, oh, I love hiking, but for first meeting, I'd really just be happy with a quick drink after work. I can meet you for happy hour on Monday or Wednesday. You see, it's formulaic. Get right to it. Here's what you must understand, that we've been sold a bill of goods, that men know everything they should know and what to do, and it's a crock. They don't, because online is the Wild West. One woman insists on coffee. Another insists on 5 phone calls before meeting. It's just crazy. Men don't know what to do, and it's why my One Love self-help course tells you everything to just make it easy, breezy, simple. You seem lovely. It's easy. The premise is we are not looking for great daters. We are looking for wonderful partners. They are 2 completely different skill sets. Beware of the most fabulous daters. And many women mistake fabulous dating for being a wonderful boyfriend and partner, when most of the time the reason they believe it's fabulous dating is because he just has the money to throw at it, to wine you and dine you, to get what he wants from you initially. Now, I'm not saying all. I'm just saying that we have to be very wary of that. Great men don't necessarily know how to give great dating. They know how to be there for you, supportive of you, good to you, honest, caring. Here's an exercise for everyone to do. Sit with a friend with a piece, with lots of papers, blank, and a pen, because you can't type fast enough on text to do this, and put a timer for 2 minutes, 3 minutes tops. Say, give me all the characteristics that you want in a guy. Go. And she starts. Handsome, sexy, funny, honest, kind, smart, good salary, lots of money in the bank, beautiful home. She just keeps going on and on. Okay, great. 15 more seconds. Anything else? Anything else? Anything else? You write them all down. And then she's going to close her eyes and you start reading them off. Just read them off. And now you say, okay, you've got 2 minutes to pick your top 4. You only get 4. What are they? Not easy. Finally, she picks the top 4. He needs to be sexy, good provider, want kids, and funny. Okay, now you can turn to her and say, are you the female equivalent? Do you have those characteristics? We don't attract necessarily what we want. And even if we attract it, we won't keep it. We attract who we are. And if your subconscious self-concept is under a cloud of negative beliefs and erroneous false misconceptions, lies, falsehoods, everything you can think of, that's what you're going to get. That's what you're going to attract. And so we have to be working on that concurrently with doing what we must do to show men who we are, guiding them to do, not telling them, not commanding them, guiding them, coming at them with goodwill, with mutual positive regard, and not, what am I going to get from you, but what kind of collaboration might we have for mutual satisfaction? It's a very different way of coming at it. The rules for someone like yourself who's very smart, sophisticated, been through a lot, has a negative view of men and dating currently because of all that you've sustained, has an urgency because you're telling me you're 44 and you want to get married and have a family, that is going to be difficult to not leak out. And you've got to do things on the behavioral side with men will allow them to feel safe and relaxed. And I dare say they're not feeling either. And then concurrently, you're not from them. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
What are you thinking from all of that? That was a mouthful.
I think it's true. I think somewhat luckily, a lot of my relationship trauma is just from that 0 to 7 and my parents. So I don't have that much baggage with relationships because I avoided them so much. And it's just mindset. Reading and getting into a philosophy can really affect your mindset. And so my mindset is, well, you know, they should have to prove they're good enough for me. And I keep thinking about this guy I met in real life recently at a networking, but he kept asking a last minute, but things that obviously he wanted a plus one for, which used to be very common in New York City, I called it activity partner dates. And his last attempt was a polka festival. and I finally said, you know, I don't do that, and I think it made him feel bad. But I think you can also gather a lot from what they're requesting you. So if a guy asked me for happy hour, I always thought that meant he was low investment. That's a low investment date, that he's maybe cheap, overly cautious. So it's interesting to hear your mindset and how you're seeing it. And I like the 60-minute thing. That I can see, like, look, I only have time for a quick drink. But see, how that's how I saw it, that it's low value, it's low interest. And that's the, as you said when you were talking about how men just have no clue, I completely agree with that. They have no idea. Some women are saying, oh, how dare you ask me for dinner? And others are saying, like me. But we just don't know the other person's mindset. And so I'm perceiving all these as affronts, and they might perceiving mine as affronts. It just makes it so difficult. And the last thing I'll say is, when you talk about collaboration, there's this term 50-50 that women are just so afraid of, where we think of a man that wants you to help him build. I don't know if there's been studies, but they say that if you are the, I'd rather have a man that's built, because if I'm building, he might, you know, leave me once he's built. And I saw my mother do that. I saw her be the workhorse. Actually, it was like an extreme, like she was the provider almost. So I think I just went the opposite of that.
You're fearing it, and what you fear you will create. There's a lot here that, let me put it this way, you just said a lot in that this was something from your earliest programming, 0 to 7, and that is why you have not had many relationships in your adult life, because of that programming. Everything that we do, everything, is from our programming. Until we get in there and program our minds with what we want, we will continue to play out simply what was put in us. You mentioned you saw your mom do what you don't want, but as with programming, if we do not address the programming in a very mindful, straightforward way, we will recreate that scenario. what we fear, we create. What's happening for you is you're fearing so much, you're going to a whole other side of things, and it's not serving you well either. The sweet spot is in the middle. But immediately, when a man asks you for coffee or a hike or, you know, let's just go for a walk or let's meet in the park or whatever he's suggesting that isn't dinner and changing it to a five-star restaurant, you are connoting that you will be living out your mother's life of taking care of a man. Now, that may sound absurd to you. Well, of course I'm not. It's just one meeting, but you are inferring a whole host of things about this man because he asked you for coffee. And none of that may be the case. He could be a multimillionaire who doesn't drink. He has only had a few dates since his wife passed away, and those two women wanted to meet for coffee, so he thinks you do. The scenarios leading up to that are so many, it's off the charts, but you are inferring one thing. It means he doesn't want to spend any money, he's cheap, he may not even have a good job. Maybe he's lying on his profile. All manner of stuff that may not at all be the case. We don't mess around with the whys of it, we just do what works. And that is in my One Love online dating course. It's formulaic. It nicely, femininely guides the man to what it is that we want, never making him feel negatively or badly about asking for coffee or a hike, a walk, whatever it is. But we also do not show them that we meet without being valued by an introductory call. And if you are having five calls a week, you want it to be maybe only two or three at most that you will actually meet. A lot can be gleaned from a man's voice, his presentation, his humor, somewhat of his intelligence, his presentation, his kindness, his patience, his ability to go back and forth rather than talk at you or over you. So many things. And it makes the first meeting much more relaxed, nicer, and he already goes into it feeling a twinge more excited about meeting you. He's jumped the first hurdle. Men fall for women by jumping those hurdles. For you, Emily, there's a lot here that you must be dealing with that you're attempting to push aside and just keep plowing through to find the right guy. This one that you were discussing, who you met in person, who you're deeming that he's asking you for activity dates. And what I'm inferring from how you stated it is that, oh, he really doesn't want to date me. He's really not showing any high enough level of interest. He's not putting enough effort into this. He just wants somebody to hang out with him to do these silly things like a polka date. And I could poke holes through that and tell you that this is what he likes to do. He finds these things maybe of interest and it would be fun. And he'll get to know you along the way. And in dancing, he gets to hold your hands and touch you. Could that be true?
Could be. Sadly, I said, well, I like fine dining. I'm not quite like that. But and he said, well, I can't afford that. So at least I learned that much.
What else would you like to know for me before we go today?
I find it interesting that I know the rule says, you know, never ask, well, but I'm free when, so.
I'm sorry, I got garbled. You have to say that again.
In the rule, they tell us to never counteroffer to say, but I'm free Wednesday.
I'm sorry, you're going to have to, Emily, it's very garbled. So talk slowly and say it very enunciated, very over-enunciate.
In the rule, they tell us that we should never counteroffer and say, well, for example, but I'm free tomorrow. So in your philosophy, it's okay to counteroffer, so to speak, and say, I'm not free during the day, but how about happy hour this week? Do you feel like that's for all women, or maybe, as you said, I agree with you, for women who are not as warm, that that's why it's okay to do that?
Well, it's interesting that you looked at it as a counter offer, and that that may be taken wrongly or incorrectly, preferring to do instead, I don't do coffee dates. And when there was no ask in it, it was, thanks, John, but coffee's not going to work for me during the day when coffee would be appropriate, but I am free on Monday or Wednesday for happy hour. I didn't ask, I offered, because rather than impugn him for asking for coffee, I've just stated what would work better for me, because I know that that is the right atmosphere and setup for a man to actually have interest. Do you see the difference?
Yeah.
You see, it's going to be how you look at it, and all of my stuff will fly in the face of the hard and fast stuff of the rules. But when you are over a certain age, you have been battered and bruised a bit in relationships and in life, especially if you've been living in a hard-edged city like New York, Los Angeles, certainly others as well, and you have a certain level of sophistication, maybe education, maybe high-level career, what have you, and you're a no-nonsense woman, doing the rules can be quite detrimental to you, not helpful. Again, you're soft, naturally sweet, more innocent. You do not know the ways of the world, and you need to be very, very careful. You are naturally not, say, very talkative. Maybe you're more, it's an essence is what I'm trying to get at. When your essence is innocent, sweet, accepting, maybe effusive, naturally warm and inviting, doing the rules will help you. If you are the opposite of those things I just mentioned, doing them will make you come off as cold and even bitchy. But frankly, it's the assumptions that you are making from your programmed belief system that is hurting you the most, Emily. Not even so much what you've encountered from your adult life, because you encountered those things in your adult life because of your programming, and it's still going on, just a different form now than it was 20 years ago. But until you correct that, you can't change it.
How do you suggest to reprogram?
Well, that's work. And what's happening is you're getting a lot of information. You're out there reading a lot, and you're looking for the answer all over the place. Every book you can get your hands on, every blog, maybe a podcast, a video, I don't know. I have to say unequivocally that groups such as relationship groups, meaning all women on Facebook or something of the sort, please steer away from, because it's groupthink and can be much more harmful than helpful. You will get the feelings assuaged if you stay within the groupthink. You'll get a yes to everything that you think and feel, and the men will be mostly demonized. And when you see it work for one girl out of every 100 that are there, because she's one where her type works for the rules, or it could be like a woman I had come to me who, she did the rules quite heavily. I think she was in her mid-40s. And he followed suit from the get-go. And there's even a term in the rules called a rules man. And if you feel like you've got a rules man, you better seriously be careful. And what I mean by that is that naturally, men are not. They have no idea what it is. And that just means they are great at dating and not connecting very well. You see, you impugn this man for wanting interaction with you, meaning texts in between, We want to think about if that guy doesn't want that kind of connection, there's a problem. You see, she married her rules guy and not even being connected to him, not really knowing him at all. He just followed suit with all the things. They didn't talk much. They didn't have to share much. He just fell for her because of the natural way men fall, not knowing each other at all. And then bam, they're married. And that's who he is. A man who cannot connect, not want connection, and want a quiet doll figure who he can just adore and put money towards. Now, if you want that kind of relationship, I'm not here to say don't have it. I'm just saying be mindful. And when you're having trouble with it, it's likely because you haven't chosen. You have to do it all the way or no way at all. And then you're going to not, along the way, connect with men who want connection. So this man that you met on Bumble and changed to a 5-star restaurant, yeah, he was okay with that. But then when there's no connection in between, he's saying, well, I don't want that. That's a good thing. He actually wants to connect. But for you, that's feeling, I don't want to go through that and then it not work out. I don't want to deal with it. The reason you hate texting is because there's a modicum of connecting in it. You have to navigate it. This is where the work comes in. You asked me, how do you start working on your subconscious programming? That's half the battle. That's half of the work that I do when I'm working with women. Sometimes it's more than half, because when you get to that, the other stuff is easier to do. Whether you do it with hypnotherapy, which is hard to find, or you do it by conscious connecting to what it was, the affirmations, the sleep meditations, the mindfulness and consciousness of it on a daily basis through consistent weekly work that we do, and then applying it and starting to, little by little, for someone like you, Emily, to open yourself up, it will produce anxiety to let a man in, to have to deal with texting, because make no mistake, a large part of relationship starting until such time as you are really involved heavily with someone where you're seeing them on a regular basis, and by engagement or marriage, living together, an enormous part of it is texting. That has to be navigated. But generally speaking, we don't get around it, and it's only going to get more so. If anyone listening is, you know, working with a therapist and you're not moving the needle on this and you keep dealing with the same issue. I was listening to Pastor Mike Todd recently, and he said something very profound, and I'm paraphrasing, but you can't divorce yourself. And what he meant is that we go from partner to partner, maybe getting rid of them if their marriage is divorcing, but it's because the problem generally lies within us, each of us. And when we fix that, everything in the outer world and the people around us are, quote unquote, fixed. So that man that had the 4 marriages, there's something there that we know. Something doesn't mean the 5th can't be a charm, but there's something there that lies within him. And we can change it, whether it's our 2nd relationship or our 42nd relationship, but it's always within us, changing our subconscious programming, our self-concept, bringing that up, and then doing what we know works with men as the mechanics of relationships that women are. And that's how we keep the car well-oiled and on the road. Getting more information is not transformation. What I would suggest, Emily, is that you find someone to do the work with and you get down to clearing the slate for yourself and working on this. You are deserving of a partner who is loving, supportive, caring, and able to give you a good life, and you in return do the same for him.
Thank you.
Any other question?
I assume as much that on a date you should kind of mirror them, order what they order, because I noticed that I ordered dessert and my last date didn't. And that sort of is similar to what I thought was my love language of gifts, that maybe not until we're married do I say, like, this is how I want to be treated, or would that just moot this? Because I have been out with multimillionaires that just treat me very regularly, and the key, and what I wrote in my question to you, was more how they treat you, kind of just adoring and spoiling, and I don't know if that's just a fantasy, but some people say that's why I likened it to sex for men, so men always want sex as soon as possible, and women like me always want gifts or to be adored or taken out or cherished as soon as possible.
You want what?
If that means to be pampered or adored or even given gifts. Is there never an appropriate time for that?
Of course, there's an appropriate time for a man to be giving you gifts. Always. There's always an appropriate time. But what's interesting to me is that I just went on probably a, I don't know, maybe a 10-minute explanation of what the issue is. And you went back to, is it okay to order dessert? Isn't it okay for the man to be wanting to pamper you, give you gifts? And I'm not sure if you even heard what I was telling you the root of the problem is.
No, I did, and I agree with you. That's why I was saying, would that just be rendered moot and not even a question once that's addressed?
Not even worth thinking about now. You have a lot of work to do, and as I said, information is not transformation. Looking outside of ourselves for the answer, looking at the man and saying, what do I need to maneuver this so that I get more of my needs met? And it's just coming at it from a back-end position that is not going to help you. It is taking a car that there is something fundamentally going on with the transmission or engine, and the outside is this absolutely stunning, beautiful piece of artistry. It's just not going to go the distance, no matter what. And this is what's happening for you. There are no answers to what you're asking because fundamentally you think the questions are the issue, and it's a whole other set of questions. When this airs, I hope you will listen very closely to it. I hope at the minimum you will at least get the One Love course so that you could attempt to do some of these approaches and take away from today that you must absolutely soften your approach. That's going to feel like you are caving, like you are giving in. Like you are not showing your worth and value. To have to tell any man, I am the prize, totally makes you not one. Does that make sense?
Yes, and I agree. I was embarrassed that I said that. But no, I agree. I'm so thankful for your advice. I love how intelligent and eloquent you are and still have love. That was just one of my fears, that I'm too smart. I'm too smart for men. I try to hide it.
You're not too smart. You're not too anything. You're just right. You're perfect. You just have to start addressing what's really at play here. It is not the men. You are beautiful, smart, and have everything at your fingertips. If you change your belief system via addressing your programming and understanding that love and acceptance is a reciprocal thing, but when you have been modeled the opposite that men take from women, use women, even in some way abuse women, and that programming follows you into preteen, teen, adulthood. You play it out time after time after time. It takes a lot to change it. The first thing to change anything is a decision to do things differently to find someone with whom you resonate and start to dig into the work that needs to be done. And the reason why I work in the way that I do with manifesting, which helps change the self-concept, and then we work on the programming along with it, is that the manifestation keeps us in a positive mind frame in order to do it. Our world opens up to us when we do it this way. And then having more understanding of men, what they need, and how we guide them to what it is that best works in relationships so that everyone gets what they need and both the man and the woman are happy and healthy together.
Right. And do you feel that groups in general, like support groups or some of the 12-step groups, are dangerous?
They can be dangerous on one end. Initially, I think people find them very helpful, and then they become a crutch, and then they become groupthink. And what can happen is that the overriding way that the group thinks gets into the person individually, and then they play that out in their life and come back to the group for validation that they did it the, quote, right way. And then all the group agrees with them and typically makes the man, because we're talking about groups for women about dating, makes the man the bad guy. And just like with many groups of people, you will have one or two in the group that kind of suck up all the energy out of it and get in there and they're monopolizing, and somehow a natural leader in some way develops or something. It can get really, really messy. In my programs, unlike many coaches, I do not have a group where members can talk amongst each other about it. Because my philosophy is that when someone is working with me and they are getting the coaching and they are hearing the recordings back, their inner knowing, their journey, they rely on what they are learning at their pace, not having anyone else's ideas, thoughts, validation, whatever, come into play. That's where real transformation takes place, solidly, where they know they can go away on their own and they know the answer. They don't need anyone else, any group to go to for validation. And normally it's validation for what I feel like doing rather than real objective what's going on for me. In other words, if not led by a professional where that professional is monitoring the group at every step of the way, mediating, it can be very detrimental. So I'm not one for that. I was trained as a social worker in support group management, and that is where in real time you are monitoring and giving positive feedback, keeping any two people that talk to each other mindful and respectful and helpful, not hurtful. And I work in a group model with my coaching, but the participants never talk to other participants. They only talk to me and hear the coaching of others in the programs. So they get the objective learning, but never give their take, opinion, anything on it, so that each participant gets her own coaching, her own knowing, her own thoughts, and is just talking to me. And then others in the program get the positive learning from the objective presentation of that situation. That's just where I come from in terms of that. It's groups that are online, please be wary. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I like your approach It is quite different from the rules, having read the rules handbook, but my sister is a therapist and she's been telling me for years to please stop doing the rules. She said they don't work, probably for that reason, that I am already guarded and need to do kind of the opposite. So I really appreciate your advice, and of course have been in therapy for 20 years, but you know, I don't know, have to just do what works, or I find that right mentor, do more of it, stick to it.
If you've been doing something for 20 years and you're not getting the happy, successful results you want to think about doing something else. And here's what I tell people who have done therapy for a very long time, what the difference between coaching and therapy is. A therapist's role and what therapy is to hold space for that person, the client, to spew out their thoughts, hold a position of absolute positive regard. There is some aspect of challenging it, but not much, because the goal initially of therapy is to create a reparative relationship for the client of the broken relationship typically with the primary caregivers. Most therapy has veered quite a bit from that. And if you have been doing it and all you're doing is going weekly and spewing out what you're not happy with, the problems, your thoughts, your feelings, and not moving the needle on your life, you may want to think twice about it. Coaching is not that. It is taking a responsibility for everything you're doing, being mindful, setting out to behave in very different ways to get different results. And for me, it is under the two umbrellas that I talk about. The umbrellas are manifesting and making magic with men, the mechanics of men. So under the manifesting is your self-concept work and manifesting what you want. Under the Neville Goddard manifestation, a little bit of, tiny bit of law of attraction, but it's mostly law of assumption. And in that are the positive affirmations or mental diet we create for you, and sleep meditations so that your subconscious is most readily and quickly accessed to program what you want. Flip side, doing what works with men, the mechanics of men that we just went through here a bit. That's in the texting, how you interact, what you say and don't say, everything that's on my YouTube channel and Instagram and all of that. It's part art, part science, but basically so that man feels safe, that you're in the right category of woman to have a real relationship with, and that he makes you happy. And when you combine these two, you will have the successful love life that you desire and deserve. And Emily, I'd be happy to talk to you about that off the air if that's something you want to do. For anybody who wants that type of help, you can, you know, connect with me here. There's so many ways, on YouTube, on Instagram, on my website, whatever. I'm happy to talk to you. But I thank you for doing this today, Emily. It was a great conversation to just scratch the surface on issues that so many women are dealing with today. And I really appreciate you taking the time and doing it.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I would love to work with you, and just enjoy your content. And I learned a lot today and from your books, which I have read, but sometimes we forget. So thank you so much for your time.
You're absolutely welcome. Well, I certainly appreciate that discussion with Emily. For her to be open and talking about things that she discussed is quite difficult. Her awareness is quite high, and that is going to be very useful to her. I think you can hear when you listen to this podcast how it's very difficult for us to see the forest for the trees. And if we can find that someone who resonates with us, who says, here's the forest, I see the trees, And I'm going to help you to see each and every one of them so that you will be whole and see the whole of your forest that's available to you, and you can have the life that you desire and deserve. That's what I aim to do with each and every woman with whom I work. And even just in one conversation on this podcast, one meaningful conversation can be life-changing. Something brought Emily to me today to have us talking. I don't believe that's happenstance. She made it happen. That means there is a lot of hope here for her to get what she desires and deserves. And if I can be part of that, it means the world to me. You're here. If you want to have a conversation with me, it can be for free on the podcast. Not everyone who applies makes it through, but I tried to talk to as many women as possible. And certainly for members of the 80-20 Wonder Club, I want to make myself available to you for that. If you are a month-to-month subscriber, consider leveling up to a 12-month membership whereby you will get to do a full coaching experience with me. That's semi-privately anyway. It's with other women who are also working with me. You get the full experience of what coaching with me is like, but it's not out for public consumption as the podcast is. And I hope you will consider doing that if you are struggling with any issue in dating or your relationship, love life, etc. And we all know that awareness is the first step for ourselves. And with any man in our life, the first step is always by remembering to make him wonder. I trust you got a lot of great information and gained valuable insight from this real coaching conversation that you can use to help you in your romantic life. It's why this podcast exists, and why there are several episodes that I choose to bring to you in their entirety, like this one. But you may not know that 98% of Make Him Wonder episodes are only partially available on YouTube and podcast listening platforms. And because I don't want you to miss out on getting the results you desire, I invite you to check out the 80-20 Wonder Club, an exclusive membership-only club of the Make Him Wonder podcast, where you get each episode in its entirety ad-free. Over 150 episodes with a real woman coming to me with a real-life love situation like you just heard, all categorized by age and relationship status, so you can choose episodes that pertain to your unique situation. Categories of 20s, 30s, 40s, and 50s, getting an ex back, situationships, dating divorced, older women, younger men, and so much more. Plus, all new episodes the moment they're formatted and ready to be aired. No waiting for partial episodes to drop here on YouTube or your podcast listening platform. The 80-20 Wonder Club also includes my Making Magic with Men Mindset Manual, a weekly video series of mindset and mechanics practices for you to do at your own pace each and every week. Join the club monthly and cancel at any time, or save by committing to a 6 or 12 month membership. And not only will you save by committing to more, you'll receive a full coaching intensive experience where you'll be talking to me personally. You choose the date anytime during your 12 months, and I'll be answering all your questions on getting what you want with the man you want. Don't miss out on how to make your man wonder in the right way to have the results you desire and deserve. Go now to the 8020wonder.club. That's THE8020wonder.club. You and your love will be glad you did.